What's up, everybody? Welcome back to LettermanRow.com. I am Jeremy Birmingham. That is Spencer Holbrook. This is Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Byers Automotive. If you're looking for an auto, go to ByersAuto.com and check out what they have in store for you. New, used, anything you want, they got it. Spencer, we're talking stuff about Ohio State getting pretty much whatever they want on the recruiting trail. Commitment number 5 for the class of 2022 is in. It is Desan McCullough, the country's 7th-ranked athlete, probably a linebacker prospect down the road, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, which at almost 6'6" and 220 pounds already, I guess there's a thought that he could develop into a defensive end. The thing about Desan McCullough is that none of those things matter, really, okay? What you're talking about is a 6'6", 220-pound, Ohio-born athlete with NFL bloodlines, an NFL coach for a father, and one of the type of kids that just change it. I know I sound like a broken record. I say it all the time. Like this, these kids that Ohio State is recruiting are just so different than they used to be. And when I say used to be, I mean like 15 years ago. And he's just another great kid. And the Buckeyes had actually been holding off on Desan McCullough for the last couple months. He actually wanted to commit in the beginning of June, but they wanted to get to know him a little bit better, wanted to meet him in person, and then they couldn't. And so today it's official that he's announced his decision. That came on the heels of a conversation with Ryan Day on Monday. What do you see? You've watched the tape. What do you see?
Big kid, massive kid, really. I mean, he looks huge, but he looks pretty almost slender, I think. He's going to grow into his body, and I think he's going to develop into a really nice player. But the versatility really stands out. You know, you put the hammer on the nail, hit the nail on the head, I guess, when you say that, you know, he could be a defensive end, he could be a linebacker. Maybe his body, you know, transforms and he becomes something even different than that. But, you know, yeah. You just don't really know where this kid's going to end up, but you know that you're glad he's in your class because he's a transformational athlete. Like you said, the NFL bloodlines really stand out. You can tell he's got good instincts. I mean, just a perfect fit for this defense, I think.
He plays cornerback and safety at 6'6", 220 pounds for his high school, Blue Valley North, outside of Olathe, Kansas, which is the exact same town that Clemson star Isaiah Simmons, now in the NFL with the Arizona Cardinals, that Isaiah Simmons is from. And the comparisons are natural when you're talking about a big, rangy athlete like that, that maybe doesn't have a position. I think Isaiah Simmons, you know, when he was going through the recruiting process, a lot of times that sort of athlete, they didn't get a higher ranking because people were just unsure of how they grow, where they go. But I think we've come around as an industry a little bit to the point where it doesn't really matter what position kids are playing. We talked about it a lot here. This idea of positionless defense, whatever position Desan McCullough ends up playing at Ohio State, it doesn't matter today. It does matter in recruiting, however, because with 5 commitments in the class of 2022, we're now presumptively talking that 3 of them are linebackers. In a class that's going to need 4 or 5 linebackers. And, you know, the interesting thing here is that Gabe Powers, Desan McCullough, and C.J. Hicks are all pretty much outside linebacker prospects. I think Gabe could potentially be a Mike, but they're all listed as outside linebackers in the future. So how do you go out and find another one or two? How do you convince another kid to join this class? I mean, what is the message? Let's pretend you're Al Washington, Spencer. When you go out and you talk to Sean Murphy, who's an interior guy all the way, it's a different conversation than when you go out and talk to Jalen Walker over there in Salisbury, North Carolina, who I think Ohio State may have as high on their board as anybody in the country still. What's the conversation you have with him?
Well, you don't know where these guys are going to play. You really don't. You know, you're recruiting positionless, and you can tell those guys, you know, we have a vision for you in our defense, but we don't really know where that vision is. You're just a great fit. And so when you have a guy like Gabe Powers, who I think is going to ultimately end up as a defensive end, when you have a guy like Desan McCullough, who you don't know where he's going to play, just keep going out there and throwing your best punch. I think that's all you can really do right now. because you can't get these guys on campus to learn who you really, truly, like, number one guy want. You know, you're going to tell everybody they're your number one guy on the board, but you can't really figure out who that is right now. And so I think you just got to keep going after, you know, the biggest fish that you think fit your program and just really, you know, hone in on that. Because like I said, you don't really know where these guys are going to play it. They're 16 years old.
Right. And the thing is with Dasan, and I want to underscore this point, that that's sort of the thing that changed, I guess, if anything changed when it comes to him and Ohio State and why they, you know, opened the door for him to commit now. It's that really the belief is that there's not going to be recruiting visits for another probably 5 or 6 months. And how long do you expect a kid to wait when he's made it very clear he wanted to commit to Ohio State? How long is too long to tell him to wait? And is it worth having him wait when you look at all this stuff, the 6'6", the 220 pounds, the 4'6", 40, the fact that he's an incredible young man on and off the field? How long is too long to wait? And is it smart to keep waiting when Oklahoma, Texas, Clemson, all these other schools are starting to catch wind of the fact that maybe you're holding this kid off and start to use it against you? But that's all kind of moot as Dasan McCullough, as I said, is commitment number 5 for the class of 2022 for Ohio State. Now, the interesting thing here is that commitment number 6 for the class of 2022 may not be far away either. As tight end Bennett Christian, who did make a city visit to Columbus last weekend, is making his college choice public on September 1st. Now, a lot of people assume that Bennett Christian, who's the number 18 ranked tight end in the country, will head to Tennessee because that is where his father played football. It's where his parents met. It's where both of his parents are alumni. He's visiting there this coming weekend to get a final trip in before making a decision. But it just seems like the type of kid that really has connected with Ohio State. And if for some reason, I think that the connection that him and Kevin Wilson have, and Ohio State offered him before Tennessee did. In fact, they offered him the day before Tennessee did, which I think for an intelligent kid, I think that there's pieces that get connected there, Spencer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Tennessee probably thinks they have the kid in the bag because of the connections and everything. Ohio State offers, and Tennessee's like, oh, we don't want to have to play catch-up. Let's get on this now.
Right, but I think that for a lot of kids, especially in the world of recruiting today, like I think that they're savvy enough to understand the way that that works. I'm not saying he's not going to pick Tennessee. I my personal instinct is that he's leaning towards Ohio State after talking to him in Bermanology earlier this week. But, you know, that Tennessee visit looms large for him. 2022 tight end, and again, I'm broken record here, but we've talked about this the last two cycles. In 2020, Ohio State wanted two tight ends, took one. In 2021, Ohio State wanted two tight ends, they're going to take one. Now in 2022, they're going to want two tight ends. If Bennett Christian becomes the first one on September 1st, the chase for a second one gets interesting. There's a very talented tight end in Ohio named Elijah Brown down at Wayne Huber Heights High School. He's got offers from Alabama and a couple other big schools, but not Ohio State. Do the Buckeyes go shoot for the moon and go try to find like a big time national guy? Or do you just say, hey, this kid's in Ohio. He's a 6'5", 240-pound athlete. You know, I just think it's fascinating because tight end is so interesting in that a lot of people think Ohio State doesn't use the tight end correctly. And it's such a developmental position that if you see a kid who's a 6'5", 240-pound junior, my brain tells you going to be an offensive lineman, not a tight end. So, I mean, again, there's about a kid who, when he gets in the college weight room, is 6'5", 275 pounds.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of people who are out there wondering, like, what's Ohio State doing when it comes to a player like Elijah Brown, they're trying to figure out how these kids develop. Again, because as you already said, Spencer, we're talking 2 more years of high school and nobody's seen anybody play football in the last 8 months.
And they might not see him play football again this year.
Well, they probably won't see him play football again this year. So how do you make these reasonable calculations? And I guess that's one of the things that I wrote about last week is there's so many questions out there and nobody's answering anything. So how do we get there? Where do we go from here? I just don't really know. I do know that the visit for Bennett Christian to Tennessee that's happening this coming weekend, he told me he's leaving to go there on Friday. You know, that's going to tell the tale for his recruitment, and he's going to make a decision on September 1st, no matter what. I think Ohio State is in the position to land him. So that could be commitment number 6 in the class of 2022. And all of a sudden, then you have a class that without any football being played, without any in-person evaluation being able to happen, is really starting to take off. So
it's a quarter full.
A quarter full, exactly. And how do you – it's going to be real interesting. This idea that, like, Ohio State was going to be hurt by the Big Ten's decision or whatever appears to be incorrect. So let's turn the page a little bit. There was – a lot of talk, Spencer, about Ohio State's top-ranked target at wide receiver in 2021, Emeka Abuka. His plans to visit Oklahoma this coming weekend for the Sooner Summit. He apparently is not making that trip. He reportedly wants to decide soon, but he also reportedly wants to make sure he visits Oklahoma before making a decision. How do those things jive? Like, what happens? Does he wait and visit Oklahoma on his own and go and not go with the Sooner Summit? Like, what's the point, I guess, of that? I don't know. The whole thing is so weird to me. Like, when are kids going to get on campus? And if they can't get on campus, shouldn't the NCAA just tell them they can't get on campus?
I guess. But you can't really bar somebody from going and, you know, like, you can't really tell somebody they can't go visit a school. If they pay for it and they don't have, like, the interaction, you can't really tell somebody, like, hey, you're not allowed to book this flight.
Yeah, I think it's telling that he's not visiting this weekend, because the point is here, he was going to go to Oklahoma this weekend because it was the weekend that Caleb Williams and a handful of other top Sooners targets were going to be there, right? Tristan Lay is heading out there. It's one of those things that is Oklahoma's commits are making this push. And we talked to the Buckeyes commits about, you know, they want to do something similar and have everyone come hang out at Jack Sawyer's house. But he's not making the visit. If he goes back and visits Oklahoma 3 weeks from now, like, there's still discussion, like, maybe he'll go visit another time on his own. If he can't go visit and see campus and see facilities and talk to coaches, and he can't go visit the weekend that all of the rest of the class is going to be there. Like, if I was Ohio State and I had my druthers, wouldn't you want him to go visit when he can't do anything and see anyone, and go visit when he's not around a bunch of other players? Like, to me, yeah. I just don't get the point. If you want to commit soon, if you're a high school athlete and you can't visit, why would you spend the money to go to Norman, Oklahoma, and not see anything and not talk to anyone? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's really confusing, honestly, because you're just going to you're going to fly into Oklahoma City. You're going to drive. You're going to Norman. You're going to get in a hotel room. You might go get dinner with your family. Maybe go see the library.
Right.
And walk around their version of the Oval. And then
you take a picture in front of a stadium, but
go back to the hotel, hang out for the night. The next morning, get up and probably get on a plane to go back, because I'm not really sure what else there is to do in Norman, Oklahoma. You've been there, haven't you?
I mean, I've been there. It's not a knock on the town. It's a great college town. But right now, I mean, the NCAA has said that coaches can have – no contact with players, like if people do make a business.
See, but this is where Lincoln Riley's right out to dinner and just happens to be at the same restaurant that
sure
the Abukas choose. You know what I mean?
So Bennett Christian visited Columbus last weekend, right? Now, all day, as he drove up to Columbus on Friday, he can talk to Kevin Wilson. He can talk to coaches about where to go, what to do. But when he's actually in town, he's not allowed to.
So then it's a visit. Then that's a visit.
Because then it's a visit. If he's on campus, then they're not allowed to talk to him while he's on campus.
That is so dumb.
How do you delineate what's campus? I don't know. Columbus is Ohio State's campus in my mind, so who the hell knows? The point is, if there's this idea that Ohio State was trying to deter Emeka Ebuka from visiting Oklahoma. Like, I don't think that that's the case, because if I was Ohio State, I would want him to visit Oklahoma right now as opposed to going when they're playing football.
Yeah.
And as opposed to when he can get into a building and sit down and talk to Lincoln Riley. Like, I'd rather him go now if I was Ohio State. So, either way, he's not going this weekend. And this concept, this like overwhelming belief is that Caleb Williams' influence is going to be the driving force in Emeka's decision. And I know Caleb is a good player, and it seems like be a guy that a lot of other players connect with. But it seems like what can they possibly – what's the pitch to a kid like that, like, other than, hey, I'm highly ranked, you're highly ranked, we should play together? Like, what is it?
I think, like, the pitch from a coaching staff would be different than a pitch from Caleb Williams, because a coaching staff could point to Marquise Brown, could point to –
right.
To C.D. Lamb, whereas and plenty of others, you know, dating back to Ryan Broyles and or whoever else played. I think Ryan Broyles went to Oklahoma.
Yes.
But, you know, all of those guys that have come through and become really good NFL wide receivers or just had good careers. But the pitch from Caleb Williams would be, yes, hey, you are good at football. I am good at football. Let's play
football together. Like that's not the case at Ohio State or anywhere else. I just don't understand this idea. Like, Caleb Williams is a 5-star quarterback. That's cool. So is C.J. Stroud. So is Kyle McCord. Like, that's
so
cool.
So is the dude.
So is Sam Heward. Emeka Ebuka is such a different type of young person. And either he has, for the last year plus, talked about what things are important to him in recruiting, and either all that stuff was made up or it wasn't. So, I mean, Oklahoma is a good program. It's one of the 5 or 6 best programs in the country. Lincoln Riley is one of the best offensive minds in America. They obviously have a lot of talent, but, you know, they have a lot of positives, like the fact that they don't have Julian Fleming, Jackson Smith and Jigba and G. Scott, all with 4 years of eligibility in front of him, especially if none of them get a chance to play this year, because now all of a sudden everyone's on equal footing. But it just seems weird to me that this has been driven home so much about Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams. Like, if Emeka Ebuka goes to Oklahoma, it's because of Lincoln Riley. You know what I mean? So whenever he gets on campus there, if he makes a decision anytime soon, I just don't know how it can go work in Oklahoma's direction. But,
well, I think also, like, Oklahoma also has 2 wide receivers, and 2 of their top 3 players committed are wide receivers. So it's not right. Like he's walking into a situation where he's the number one guy no matter what. You know, Mario Williams is a really good wide receiver prospect.
Oh, and they signed the number one receiver class in 2019 with 3 of the top 7 or 8 receivers in that class. So, and all those kids like Jaden Hazelwood are still waiting to play. It's not like it's a roster that's depleted at the position. It's actually a roster that's probably better than it has been top to bottom.
Also, I mean, if we're going to get down to the very brass tacks of this and finish the conversation, because we are not talking down on Emeka. We're not trying to make him, you know, convince him to go to Ohio State. But if it's a matter of both have a 5-star quarterback, but, you know, the competition to get on the field is stiffer at Ohio State. I'm sure Ohio State will probably be like, okay, if that's what it comes down to, go to Oklahoma. Because Ohio State's not in the business of telling guys, hey, you're going to play right away.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is a valid argument. I mean, the reality is kids should go to where they think they can play faster. Like, that's smart.
Yes.
That's good logic. But if that's your motivating decision, then why would Ohio State have been at the top of his list for the last year anyway? You know what I mean?
Knowing, like, what 2020 was
right. You already knew this. You already knew that was there. So I don't know that that's really changed for Emeka. But I guess, again, we'll see. If the reports out there that he wants to make a decision in the near future are true, then I without making a trip to Oklahoma, it seems unlikely that he would surprise everyone and pick the Sooners. But again, we're in such a weird time. Travion Henderson committed to Ohio State without ever visiting. We started this show talking about Tasan McCullough, a top 75 prospect in the country, who visited Ohio State or has never visited Ohio State. and is committed with 2 years of high school football left. Things are weird. I'm willing to add that asterisk to everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Anything can happen.
You know, we can wrap it up on a boot. Like I said, wrap it up on a boot. But this is Brian Hartline's biggest test so far that he's had to go through as a recruiter, I think. I think it is, because trying to, you know, you've had this guy at the top of your board. He's been at, you've been at the top of his list for a year and a half. Now you're trying to close. And this just seems like a big moment. You know, can they close on their second consecutive number one ranked wide receiver?
Yeah, and that's the reality is there's nothing that's changed in the last year and a half between Ohio State and Emeka Ebuka. The relationship there is as strong as it ever was. What is different now is that, you know, he's getting closer to making a decision, and you have to really exhaust all your options and see what's out there. But we also have to understand that there's no guarantee he's going to make a decision anytime soon, because he's planning on playing football next spring in Washington as a high school senior. So there's a long way to go. And again, because the NCAA gives us no answers about anything, we don't know when the signing periods are going to be. We don't know what the scholarship situations are going to be. We have literally no idea what's going to happen. So what you can do is just count on things that have been consistent, and that's the relationship between Ebuka and Ohio State for the last year and a half. We'll finish up this episode by talking about one more player, 2023 prospect in Ohio, Mentor High School defensive end Brennan Vernon, who has picked up an Ohio State offer this last week, the first 2023 player in Ohio to be offered by the Buckeyes. And, you know, when we're talking about the next wave of major talents in Ohio, Brennan Vernon, Luke Montgomery, who's been on Bermanology before, and Trevor Carter down there at Ironton High School, like that trio of defensive prospects is going to be really something to watch as things start to kick back up as Ohio football. Now, hopefully they get a chance to play. I'm hoping to get over to Mentor and talk to Brennan this week about his offer and get a little bit more in depth with him, but just watch, you know, that's an area that is extremely pro Ohio State, as everyone knows. Ryan Jacoby and Noah Potter on the roster for Mentor right now, but as a 2023 prospect, so that means he just finished, he's still getting ready to start a sophomore year of high school, to get an offer from Ohio State, the Buckeyes had to see something really, really special in Brennan Vernon.
Yeah, and you know that it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Like, I don't know what else to add to that other than, like, this kid is going to be special, you know?
Yeah, the thing is, if Ohio State offers a 2023 player from Texas, it doesn't mean nearly as much as an offer to a 2023 in Ohio. Like,
well, Ohio, trying to get a head start.
Right.
Go ahead.
In a Texas offer, you're trying to get a head start. In a Ohio offer, you're trying to close it quickly.
Yeah. Because you know how good the kid's going to be. Right. I think we're going to get into it more as this continued, never-ending lull of a dead period continues. The state of Ohio is absolutely loaded in 2023.
Yeah,
I mean, you can build
one of the better.
You can build the core of a class. You're probably going to be able to build the core of your class around what's in state in 2023. It's just going to be one of those cycles where Ohio State has that built-in advantage.
Yeah, I mean, and they need it, because the reality is we don't know what's coming with college football. And that 2023 class may be the next class that sort of feels normal, I guess, because 21 and 22, the recruiting cycles have been so confused because of the COVID-19 stuff, that you hope that 2023 is really the next normal group where we can see them in the spring and get a true evaluations happening. So, just keep an eye on Brennan Vernon. I don't think he's going to commit anytime really soon, but it makes a lot of sense that he'll end up being the first commitment in the Buckeyes 23 class whenever he's ready to decide. He does have offers from Michigan and a few other big schools already. But again, that's just a matter of Ohio State not wanting to mess around. As I've said before, when it comes to in-state prospects, the ideology under Ryan Day has been, if we're going to offer eventually, let's offer immediately, because they do know, like, you can see it on tape, like, who's got it, and Brennan Vernon has it. So and it's visible on his freshman tape from Mentor. So let's wrap it up there, Spencer. That's Spencer Holbrook. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This is Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Letterman Row and our good friends at Byers Auto. Thanks for watching, everyone. We will check you out next time. You know what? Thanks for listening, too. If you're listening to this on the podcast, I always say thanks for watching, but I guess a lot of people just listen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great day and night, whatever. Bye.